John Scott Railton, a researcher with Citizen Lab, said that this lawsuit, going forwards, is a massive blow to NSO. The recent revelations of the use of NSO Group's Pegasus software to spy on Palestinian human rights defenders marked a convergence of what had previously been two separate diplomatic issues for the Israeli regime, as noted by the New York Times. NSO Group exports its spyware under licenses from Israeli regime's War Ministry, which issued the order designating six Palestinian human rights groups as terrorist organizations. The Times noted that, according to the Israeli regime policy, Pegasus cannot be used by a foreign government against Israeli regime phone numbers, such as those belonging to the Palestinians in the outlawed groups. The publication added that an Israeli regime agency, however, would have the authority to use the software against an Israeli number. The new military order outlawing the Palestinian groups in the West Bank puts the organization's staff members and their property at imminent risk of raid, arrest, and reprisals, according to Al-Haq. The military order is wide in scope and may be used to target broad swathes of Palestinian society, including witnesses to and survivors of war crimes. The order states that every member of Al-Haq, whether he is incorporated, associated with it or not, whether he operates on the internet or in another way, and every group, cell, and faction, institution, central branch, or faction thereof, is an illegal organization in the meaning of the defense regulations. Al-Haq said that the military order is based on British Mandate-era emergency regulations that were repealed shortly before the end of the mandate and therefore no longer apply. According to Al-Haq, the Zionist regime has repeatedly resurrected the repeated British Mandate order dating from 1945 to outlaw any form of peaceful assembly since its military occupation of the West Bank began in 1967. The rights group said that the Israeli regime's culminative campaign of persecution aims at gradually normalizing its inhuman acts of persecution and apartheid towards Palestinian human rights defenders. The Israeli regime is enforcing its threats with total impunity and complete contempt for the strong statements of condemnation from the UN treaty bodies and officials and European states that followed its initial terror designations in October, Al-Haq added. Recently, Al-Haq called on the European Union and 30 states to remove terrorism clauses as internal conditions placed on donor funding to Palestinian organizations in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. The rights group also called for comprehensive trade sanctions against the Israeli regime, emphasizing the need to end the sale or supply of military products to the state.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is IRB English Radio. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. This is Asma, and from Muslim Ladies Studio, I invite you to our cozy corner where we talk about some important stuff concerning Muslim Lady. Here with me, I have an amazing guest, Sister Shamali. Thank you for joining us and welcome to today's program.
Thank you very much for having me. Assalamu alaikum to all the brothers and sisters who are listening to our program. An honor to be here.
Well, I'm very pleased to be here with you.
Thank you.
Okay, just to give you a hint of what we touched upon through the previous episode, I would sum it up like this. After revolution, which was a game-changing event for both men and women, the situation improved for the benefit of women. As the chances of academic learning grew wider, women started to show up as an actively involved citizens in different areas and aspects of society. Muslim lady is no longer restricted by any order. Nothing stops her from being a doctor, a member of the parliament, or a single mom who's running a great business and helping her family.
Well, some people say this is not good.
Why?
To be the member of the parliament, to be a single mom... These are not good.
All of those are the red lines for some people, but the majority of people consider that as a right of women, as freedom, as what revolution promised everyone.
You know, the answer to these questions really varies from which standpoint you're looking at the topic. Mm-hmm. Because political position of a woman, to be members of parliament, to be ministers, to even be the prime minister or the president of a country, a woman being taking such roles.
Men and women both are human beings, okay. And they both have the same rights. Of course, men are different in nature, women are different in their nature. But they can get the jobs that men get. We can see nowadays women have no borders in whatever duty they take in society.
Yeah, I think they are smart enough, they are courageous enough, they are talented enough, they are educated enough to take all these positions. But
I'm a Muslim woman and I do respect what women are doing nowadays.
So they're
being so independent and so powerful, and they're showing everyone that they can do everything.
Why should women prove to the whole world that they can do everything?
You know, it's not the story of just proving. It's an achievement. From considering 50 years ago when there was no chance of many things for women, what we are seeing today is praiseworthy. Women are showing that they're smart, that they're powerful.
Why should women show that they're smart? Who are they showing?
Because that's the nature of human beings. They would love to improve.
It shows that they don't have self-confidence and they are so...
On the contrary. It means they have confidence.
I have to prove to you that I can do it.
No.
Why?
No, not proving in that way that you're saying it. Proving it to the world that a woman is also a creature that has a brain, which is a beautiful brain. And when it comes into practice, she could even be better than men, maybe.
This woman doesn't have this feeling of security in herself. So she has to prove to the whole world, look at me, I'm so powerful, look at my brain.
See, as a human being, psychologically speaking, or even from a religious point of view, human beings are interested in getting more and more of all the, I don't know, precious things it'd be. Or
anything that is precious, we should go get it.
If you can get it, why not? If you can achieve it in a good way, why not?
So I want to have
it
like...
It would add to your confidence. It would add to your character. It's, you know, nowadays women are more experienced. They're adventurous people.
What is your yardstick for? What is your standard? What is your criterion for perfection? How do you picture a very successful woman?
A very successful woman.
Give me a complete holistic picture.
Fit.
Okay. She's single?
Not necessarily. Maybe she's even a mother.
Okay, so she's a mother.
She's a mother.
She's
smart.
Married.
She's been married.
She has children?
Yes, she has children.
How many? Two?
Let's say two.
How old is she?
Maybe 30.
30, okay.
30, 35.
Her education?
She has master's or even she has PhD.
In which field?
Or maybe she's a professor.
In which field?
Whatever field.
Tell me the field.
I tell you the field. Let's call her a doctor.
I want to take out the picture, the image that you have in your mind about a successful woman.
Well, I can count many pictures. There's not only
one
picture.
Okay, let's talk about the different
pictures.
But
totally, she's smart, she's independent, no, she can do everything
whenever
needed.
I want you to be very detailed and precise in the information. Mm-hmm. Up until now, it's very important that this woman, this perfect model that you have in your mind, this like woman that you think she's successful, she's a mother of two, she's married, she has a master's in?
I said let's call her a doctor. She's a doctor. She's helping people.
How much time does she spend with her family?
Not, of course, much. If you are going to be a successful woman, you can't bring the two of them at the same time together.
Exactly.
I mean, working outdoors.
Which of them are important?
Well, my perspective are mine, you know. I cannot generalize it. But I would say that a woman also needs to do whatever she has planned for, she has imagined for.
Are we living in an imaginary world or in the real world?
We are living in a real world in which you can bring some of your imaginations into reality.
Okay. But then you said that she's a very successful woman.
Mm-hmm.
She works outside. And a doctor has to work, for example, like 6-7 hours outside of her home.
Yes.
She doesn't spend much time with her children.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have a happy family? Is she a happy woman?
Maybe she has. I see some of people, they can handle both. Now, if I cannot do that, it's another story. But I have seen people who can do that, who can handle that very good. We're talking about a Muslim lady in the society after revolution and her expectations. I am here with my dear guest, Miss Shamali. Let's go for a little break and then we'll be back. Thank you for listening to us and giving your ears and attention. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We were talking about a perfect lady.
I'm a mom myself, and I'm a very active woman.
So, you see?
And some places in my family lack. I see that. Yeah.
I have seen people who can do both perfectly.
Go to their lives.
I always envy them because I am
okay,
a person.
Tell
who
me about the examples
both.
That you've seen. Tell me exactly the details of their life.
The details of their life. I can say she has a very important job. It's from the morning till 3
okay.
afternoon.
Okay. Children?
Children. She has two children.
How old?
10 and I guess 8.
Okay.
It is very difficult. It is very difficult because she has to plan many of her daily chores at night.
Mm-hmm.
She's not even having many time for her sleep or for her rest.
Uh-huh.
So you can see she's taking from herself.
Exactly. This is what I want to say. This is it. You're
yes,
saying it.
Much of burden she shoulders.
This is not a happy life. This
but
is
she
not
enjoys
happiness.
That. Many people enjoy that.
That she doesn't rest well, she doesn't eat well.
She thinks she does.
But you're
you
saying
know?
She doesn't.
I see that as
from
she
that,
is
from
not
your
heavy.
Perspective, she's
because
not...
Because I'm a person who cares a lot about her resting time. So I am speaking about myself.
Okay.
I see her not putting a time for herself.
I'm talking about the expectations of a government from a woman.
Uh-huh.
And you're a woman and I'm a woman.
Yes.
Okay, I want to see, is it in the same line? Because we are not talking in abstract mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking in reality. And
yes.
You and I are two active members of this society, two active women.
Yes.
Right? So I want to know if the expectation that this government or this Islamic mm-hmm. society is having from us, is it something practical or is it just in dreams and in imagination?
First, we have to say what expectations they have from
exactly.
us.
Exactly. I want to get to that.
Yes. Okay. So they want a woman to be a perfect mom, to raise perfect children, so uh-huh. that they create the future generation in a perfect way.
You're saying this is the expectation of the government from
yes.
women?
Yes.
Is it going to be realized?
She's not going to have time to bring about many children.
To not even get married.
One.
Parliament, this, that.
Yes.
This was the mentality of a successful woman in your head.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be a superwoman and very successful, prove to the whole world, I can do it. Yes, this is me, women power.
Yes,
right?
She can do it.
Exactly. This is what we talked about.
And now, she did it.
And she did it. But with what price? What is the price that a woman paid to be the superwoman?
Herself, yeah, actually, you know? Maybe she creates a great family. Maybe she raises some good children.
Are you?
But
how can a woman?
She's using herself, using her time. She's giving from her time to every other things.
Asmajan, when you are talking about a successful woman, mm-hmm. a happy woman, mm-hmm. she is the source of energy. She's the source of giving positive emotions to her family, first of all. You know yeah. when your mom is sick one day?
Yes.
The whole family is sick.
Is suffering.
Exactly. Right? Yes. So women play a very important role. Whenever your mom is in positive mood and whenever she is good, the father is good, the children are mm-hmm. good, the society is good. And when she's depressed, when she's stressed, when she is sick, then the whole family is sick. This woman that she's always giving, 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 she's a superwoman, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm a member of the parliament. She says, I don't have time for myself, I have to sleep less, not eat healthy food because she mm-hmm. doesn't have the time. Then this woman will break.
Exactly, from the inside.
Exactly. Is she going to be happy? If you want to light a place mm-hmm. and you have a light bulb, mm-hmm. and this light bulb, you break gradually, it loses its strength. Mm-hmm. Then the house, that room is going to be dark. The superpowers that you're expecting from the woman, it's you're taking the light, the energy, or you're sucking the energy out of her. Mm-hmm. So you're just with a woman that has to look fresh and look nice.
But you know, some women like that. Some women like a lot of pressure to be imposed on them.
They have a lot of stress.
That's
and
very true.
They jeopardize their health mm-hmm. for the price of their success
That's
and the health of their
true.
Family. This is what I'm saying, that there are so many things, so many roles to take in a society. Mm-hmm. To be a healthy and happy individual that can establish a good relationship with God.
Yeah.
And to be a good wife, to be a good mother, to be a good daughter, to be a good sister. All these are the roles that a woman can take.
Yes.
And sometimes should take. Now, we only have, you know, sometimes when someone expects you something from you, say, I only have two hands.
Yes.
It's only one body, right? Mm-hmm. So there's limited time. There's one mortal, fragile,
exactly.
weak body. And so
you
many
put it very
roles.
Truly.
So what
many
you have
roles.
To do is prioritize.
Yes.
Number one, two, three. And then how do I prioritize? How do I know what is the first thing? It comes from your value system.
Mm-hmm.
My world, my imagination, my this, my that. Who feeds this imagination into you? Who says I have to prove to the whole world I can do it, I'm smart?
No, it sometimes comes from your essence. It's your brain that tells you, you have to be like this.
Your brain keeps being fed by the information that you absorb from around you, from the books that you read, from
yes.
the cartoons that you watch, from a very small age.
After all, it's your interest, you know? You choose that for yourself.
You know what? A combination of numerous factors come hand in hand mm-hmm. to make for you your identity, to make for you your value system. You know, it's not the result of one night. It's the result of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. When you were a child, how did your mom treat your dad? How did your mom treat you? How did your dad treat you?
Plenty of things.
Your brother, your teacher, mm-hmm. your uncle, your school, your and educational system. All these little by little pieces come together and make Asma and make Razia.
Yes, that's very true. I would love to continue this discussion till the midnight, but then time is flying so fast and we have to bid everyone farewell. Thank you for listening. Until another session, may Allah protect you.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here are some interesting points to ponder upon as elucidated by the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The whole good is gathered in three characters: consideration, silence, and worthing. Every consideration that lacks learning lessons is inattention. Every silence that lacks thinking is inadvertence. And every wording that lacks the mention of God is nonsense. Blessed are those whose consideration teaches them lessons, whose silence causes them to think, and whose wording is mention of God, who weep for their sins and save people from their evil.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Now, for those who are interested in archaeology, the remains of 14 mummies have been unearthed at an ancient site in central Peru. The mummies, believed to be over 1,000 years old, include 6 children and 8 adults. The tomb containing the bodies was found at an archaeological complex about 25 kilometers from the capital, Lima. Researchers discovered other objects such as clay pots, decorated calabashes, and some knitting gears near the mummies. They believe the children and adults were sacrificed in honor of a prominent local figure whose mummified body was found last November in the same area.
A group of people who were part of his environment were sacrificed, mainly children. It's quite possible that it was his children, his wives, who were sacrificed and buried in the surroundings of the tomb, and also his servants.
Van Dalen also says the discovery provides them with the oldest evidence of child sacrifice associated with the burial of an elite character in the pre-Inca era. The city of Cajamarquia, which was built out of mud in around 200 BC, is considered as one of the largest archaeological complexes in Peru.
a miniature bull in Germany's Bavaria is proving that size does not matter, as the small bovine makes himself comfortable in his new herd at an animal sanctuary. This tiny bull had a lucky escape and was rescued from a farmer who was taking him to a slaughterhouse. The mini cow is named Napoleon and was born with a genetic defect. Just 8 months old, the diminutive bull has already reached his full size. Napoleon might be small, but he is mighty and daring, as he is not afraid of joining a herd consisting of big and huge animals.
Napoleon belongs to the Dexter breed, which produces rather small cattle anyway. They grow up to be about 1.2 meters. With his 80 centimeters, he's of course far below that. Despite his size, he feels like a complete bull and is in a good mood. He has settled in with us very quickly, which we are very happy about. He also has a lively effect on the herd.
The little bovine now lives with 100 other rescued livestock. His rescuers say he gets along with other animals and has already become friendly with another rescued cow. The Dexter is a breed of cattle first originated in Ireland. They are usually bred for high-quality meat and milk. An Indonesian man frees a crocodile of a tire that was stuck around its neck some 6 years ago. Tilly, a self-taught rescuer and resident of Central Sulawesi province, captured the reptile and cut the tie using a small saw with the help of some locals. The animal had been too smart to be trapped. Tilly says he had been tracking the reptile for weeks using a basic trap with a rope tied to a log. He used live chickens and dogs as bait to lure the reptile. The crocodile drew the sympathy of local residents who worried the tire would choke as it grows in size. Tilly says his main motive was to help animals, claiming it was not his first experience dealing with a crocodile.
Biologists in Peru release two birds back to their natural habitat after weeks of efforts to attend and conserve dozens of animals affected by an oil spill. Two birds were among some 200 animals found dehydrated and were brought to a veterinary hospital for treatment. Veterinarians, biologists, and volunteers have been leading the cleanup operation of the affected coast close to the capital, Lima. So far, several species have been released after rehabilitation. An oil tanker off the coast of Peru was hit by waves triggered by a volcanic eruption miles away in Tonga in January. Some 6,000 barrels of oil spilled into the ocean that polluted waters and beaches along Peru's Pacific coast.
There are all sorts of peculiar restaurants around the world, but not so many prison-themed eateries. One of them is in the Iranian capital, Tehran, and it is thriving.
The setting is engaging. If we want to suggest it to someone, it's because of the setting, too. It's like a cell, both its title and the story of the owners. They wrote here they were inmates themselves and why they were in jail.
Cell 16 serves its customers in cells where they can wear mock prison uniforms. The owners say they got the idea for their diner while they were behind bars for debt. They say they are now open to help newly released inmates who find it hard to get employed and give out part of their proceeds to pay for debt inmates.
There have been several cases where an inmate came and worked here while on leave, and we helped and offered him money to help his problem.
The eatery was opened in 2016. The owners have now expanded their business and own two diners in Tehran and another in the central city of Isfahan. They say they are using their emerging restaurant chain to raise funds to free convicts who are serving time for unpaid debts.
German man has claimed a new Guinness World Record in hula hooping. Kia Sandmeier set a new record for the longest duration of hula hooping in a plank position. He was able to carry the activity in this difficult pose for over 6 minutes. The 30-year-old says he practiced the plank rigorously in the morning and evenings before and after work. Sandmeier says holding the plank was the most difficult part. The previous record for this activity was set last year by an American with just over 3 minutes. Every year, the Copenhagen Light Festival transformed the winter cold and darkness of the capital city into a celebration of light art in Denmark. In February, the entire city becomes the stage displaying captivating lighting installations presented by Danish and international artists. The works are planted at more than 30 historical sites, canals, and squares, among other urban spaces. Building facades are also decorated with special lighting designs. The organizers and curators of the festival say the event is important because it gives people a chance to rediscover their own city. Also, the event brings life to a dark season that's normally very quiet by offering joyful experiences for locals and tourists alike.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
As the 2022 Winter Olympics have begun in the Chinese capital, Beijing, two playful giant pandas in at the Moscow Zoo have come to the spotlight for predicting the outcome of the sports event. On the eve of the Winter Olympics opening, Ru Yi and Ding Ding were each offered 5 traffic cones labeled with national flags of the participating countries represented by the largest numbers of athletes. The cones that got taken down by them were considered as the winners. The pandas then chose the cones with Chinese and German flags on them. Zoo officials say no treats were placed inside the cones to ensure that the prediction is unbiased. The zoo says it plans to continue the panda prediction for all individual and team competitions at the Games. The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Salman Kujuri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Here's more.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The 4-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys 2 important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Qalamzan, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of craving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormoz, Hengam, and Qeshm are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council, as China, with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones, come next. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and you do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
Even though we still keep a social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new Lunar Year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Inshallah, all of you are doing well. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, which you are listening to. Today, we're going to speak about Imamology.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
Today, Wednesday, is the 14th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We listen to chapter Al-Qasas, verse 50.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Fa'in lam yastajibu laka fa'lam annama yattabi'un ahwa'ahum. Wa man adallu mimman ittaba'a hawa'ahu bighayri hudan.
But if they do not respond to you, then know that they only follow their own desires. And who is more astray than one who follows his desire without guidance from Allah? Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is interesting that through a lot of Islamic narrations, the verse has been rendered into those who have not accepted the divine leaders and have relied only on their own thoughts. In other words, man is in need of divine guidance. This guidance sometimes is found in the heavenly book, sometimes in the person of Prophet, and his way of treatment, sometimes in his immaculate vicegerence, and sometimes in the logic of intellect and wisdom. The important thing is that man should be on the line of divine guidance, not on the line of his own sensual desire, so that he can enjoy the rays of this guidance.
Allahumma salli.
The conduct of the Imam we are talking about. Man needs an illustration so that he should know where he is heading to, what actually he is, and what he should be like. Imam is that kind of man like whom every man should be. Imam is an ideal, a specimen, or a living example. Without the guidance of an ideal, man will lose his way. If this ideal is not there to lead him to Allah, the temporal desires will create models for him. If we do not talk of good, do not remember our real models, do not keep them in our vision all the time, and do not look to them without highest esteem and love by practically following them, the devils will distract us and introduce others to us with false propaganda so that we may be inclined towards them. Imam is not only a guide, he is an imam. He is not only a guardian, he is an imam. That is to say, his every action, including worship, eating, drinking, struggling, talking, and remaining silent, is a lesson and model for us. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with
the need for recognizing the infallible Imam. And at the same time, the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, indicated that through recognizing and acting according to the instructions of the infallible Imams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be worshipped. Bina'a ubidallah wa bina'a urafallah. Whoever wants to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain good and profound knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him, should start from knowing the infallible Imams, because the infallible Imams have been the gateways for people to start their intellectual journey in the course of recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing their own missions and responsibilities concerning the Islamic religion and ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam indicated it to one of his companions by the name of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, who was a reliable companion of his. In it, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam explicated the point that in order to reaching a profound knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the faithful are expected, or they are required, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and assert and believe the righteousness of his prophet, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his immediate successor Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we find that imamate has got a very long and important and significant story and background in the Islamic religion, without which the sense and mission of the Islamic religion would be left utterly incomplete. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
On the continuation of today's special, we'll look at the philosophy of the existence of the Imam and the list of those philosophies were reach to guardian of the heavenly laws. We know that the divine religions are like a drop of water, pure life-giving and nurturing. But the moment one enters an environment which is polluted, gradually they are polluted and superstitions are added to them so that the purity of the first day is lost. In this state, neither do they have attractions nor any educational effects. It is here that an infallible leader must always act as a guardian of the authenticity of a school and the being pure of the religious programs alongside it, so that they guard against any deviation, extremism, alien ideas and superstitions, because if religious precepts be without such a leader in a very short period of time, they will lose their authenticity and sincerity. For this reason, Imam Ali says, "Yes, the earth will never be empty of a person who has arisen with the proof of Allah, whether through appearing of being known or being hidden, so that the divine proof and signs not be falsified."
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid.
from the conditions and special qualities of the imam, now we reach to austerity. We know that those who are captives of the gold and attractions of this world are easily deceived, and it is possible that they deviate from the way of truth and justice. Sometimes this happens by way of greed and sometimes by way of threats, whereby this captive of this world is deviated from the straight path. The imam must be above the possibilities of gifts of this world and not be a captive to it. He, the imam, must be free from any chains or bonds of the material world, from all whims and lusts, from any ambition, from wealth and position, so that he cannot be deceived and influenced, and he then surrender and compromise because of these desires.
Twelve Shiite belief is that each and every one of the 12 imams was designated and appointed by the Prophet himself and reconfirmed with each imam's immediate predecessor. 12 Shiite sources of hadith or prophetic tradition are replete with reports on the authority of the Prophet Muhammad that explicitly state that the number of his successors are 12 and also include each of their names. Some of these reports may also be found in major Sunni collections of hadith, such as Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, although in these sources, the names of the successors are not mentioned, but the number 12 is, including reference to all being from the Arabian tribe of Quraysh, which is the same tribe that that Muhammad himself belonged to. Those of you who are familiar with the Judeo-Christian tradition may find the number 12 interesting as well, as in the case of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, or the 12 apostles or disciples of Jesus. While Sunni traditions would specify that the 12 successors would hail from Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, 12 Shiites would emphasize that they were to be from the specific clan of Banu Hashim within Quraysh, the immediate family members of the Prophet himself. More so, they would descend from the Prophet's daughter Fatima and her husband Ali, and specifically from their son Al-Husayn. They would come from not Al-Hassan's line, but Al-Husayn's line. 12 Shiites present several historical incidents as proof of the Prophet Muhammad's appointment of Ali as his successor. The most important of these incidents is what is referred to as the event of Ghadir Khum. This incident took place approximately 2 months before the Prophet Muhammad's death. Historians note that after performing the final pilgrimage to Mecca, known as Hajjatul Wida, the Prophet and his companions were returning to the city of Medina. On the way home, the Prophet received a Quranic revelation. Quote, "O Messenger, convey what has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you do not, then you will not have conveyed his message, and God will protect you from the people." End quote. At this point, the Prophet stopped at an area between Mecca and Medina known as Ghadir Khum and ordered everyone to gather. He then delivered a sermon in which he declared the following statement, quote, "He whose mawla I am, Ali is his mawla. Man kuntu mawla, fahada aliyum mawla." 12 Shiites would interpret the word mawla here to mean master or leader, and to take this as an explicit designation of Ali as the Prophet's successor. Furthermore, they would suggest that after this announcement, the Prophet Muhammad received another Quranic revelation, quote, "Today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my blessing upon you and have approved for you Islam as a religion," end quote. This event would form the primary basis of the 12 Shiite argument of the necessity of the imamate, and specifically the condition of explicit designation or an-nas of the imam. That is to say that the imam must be divinely appointed.
Time flies so fast. That is the end of this episode of today's special from IRB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we rejoin you on another episode and another interesting topic. Till then, have a nice time. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami.
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.